This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Changing your life one story at a time. This is the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast with Editor-in-Chief Amy Newmark.
Hey, it's Amy Newmark and it's Friend Friday. And today I am excited to introduce you to Randy Collins, who is pretty well known in the LA area for being on the USC lacrosse team and being twice as old as his teammates. Randy wrote about his journey from being a Marine to being morbidly obese to getting back in shape and then becoming a USC lacrosse player and PhD candidate. And he put all of this in a new story that we've published in Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Power of Yes. So Randy, welcome to the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast.
Thanks, Amy. It's such a pleasure to be here. It's so much fun.
So we're pre-recording this a few days before it actually comes out. And you are talking to us via Skype from London. What are you doing in London?
You know, it's a strange phenomenon. I had a daughter. I blinked, and then she was in college abroad. And so she's been here for 2 years, and we've made a father-daughter trip every year since. And so I'm picking her up in London, and we're headed to Israel and Jordan for about a week.
Oh, wow. And you're picking the hottest time of the year.
Well, it was in between semesters for both of us, so it worked out.
That's true. I forgot you're in college, too, in a sense. You're in grad
right.
school. That is pretty right. funny. You have children in college and you're on the college team. Well, let me give a little background on you before we get started. Randall Collins, who goes by Randy, is the emergency manager for the city of El Segundo in California. And he's president of this organization called the All Hazards Incident Management Teams Association. You'll have to tell us what that is. And he's also a doctoral candidate at USC. And in the past, he has held positions with American Humane, which Chicken Soup for the Soul works with very closely. He's also been with the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, of course, with the Marines. And he already has a Master of Leadership degree from USC, but now, of course, he's going for that PhD. So let's talk about your incredibly interesting history and how you got where you are today. Start us off with the Marines.
Well, after high school, I went to college very briefly and found out I was not ready for college as an 18-year-old young teenager. And so after a semester, I dropped out. I marched in Drum Bugle Corps for a year and then went into the Marine Corps, something I had always wanted to do. And I spent 6 years on active duty and then 6 years in the reserves and got all around the world, as the Marines will tend to do. And then got off of active duty in 1997, at the end of 1997, where then I got into public safety then.
Then you said that in 2013, you were diagnosed as morbidly obese, which is hard for me to believe since I've seen you since then. And you still look like a Marine with the great posture and everything. So I don't know how you got there and then came back out. But tell us what happened with that.
Sure. So I've always struggled with my weight. Even in the Marines, I was always pushing my weight limit. But then, you know, once you have a family and life interrupts your ability to exercise as effectively, and the weight just kept coming on. And even though I was still very active, I still ran a lot, I still worked out a lot, and that sort of thing, the weight just kept coming. And then I continued to have a doctor over many years that told me I need to lose weight, I'm morbidly obese, and that sort of thing. And then my sister had bariatric surgery, because she and I share this heredity or hereditary gene that keeps weight on us, I suppose. She had great success with it. And so then I said, I want to try that.
All right. So you had bariatric surgery. You lost, 100 pounds?
Well, once I had the surgery, I started running a lot. I was just running anywhere from 6 to 10 miles a day, and the weight just dropped off. And the problem with that was I started to get a little too skinny, and I had to shallow up my running a little bit and work in some weight training there just to build some muscle back. But it was a great opportunity to get in shape.
And then my understanding is that's when you started playing lacrosse, and you were already in your 40s, and all the other lacrosse players started when they were more like 10 or 12.
Sure. Yeah, I first picked up a lacrosse stick in 2013. And at the time, it was a means to just really bond with my son, who was playing in high school at the time. And obviously, the first time you pick up a lacrosse stick, you're no expert, that's for sure. And I really thought, man, this is way harder than it looks like. So playing around with my son for a couple years, never in 2013, though, did I think 2 years later in 2015 would I be playing for USC as a grad student.
Yeah, that is incredible. So you went to USC as a grad student. How did you even think that you could get onto the lacrosse team? I mean, that's pretty incredible to get on the team in your 40s.
Yeah, I was out running, and at that point I started playing lacrosse whenever I could because I fell in love with the sports. And so I was really just trying to get better at that. And so every time I would go out for a long distance run, I would bring my stick and cradle the ball with the stick for my long distance runs. And while I was running, it just really hit me. I was like, hey, I'm a full-time student. I never played school or never played sports in undergrad, so I should have all my NCAA eligibility. And I said, I want to play for USC now that I'm a grad student. So I called the general manager up and asked him to meet me for coffee, and we did. And he welcomed me to come out for the team. And ever since then, I've been playing right alongside these kids.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what it's like to play lacrosse for USC as probably the oldest lacrosse player in the nation at the college level.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back with Randy Collins, the oldest member of the USC lacrosse team, who's starting his fourth season on the team this academic year. So, Randy, let's talk about how people treat you on the team. Do they think you're the coach? Do they treat you like you're just one of the guys? Or do you end up being more like an advisor to your teammates or like a father figure?
There are a wide range of roles that I play on the team, for sure. The new kids, when they come around, and if they haven't heard of me, I get asked the question, am I a coach? Or anybody that I, even on the other teams, when they see me, I get questions that range for, are you a coach? We were shaking hands after a game one night or one time with one of the other teams, and I got a question of, dude, how old are you? So I definitely get that range of people recognizing I'm older and wondering how I'm doing what I'm doing. I definitely have a paternal role where I don't mix it up as much as the kids do with their college age shenanigans and that sort of thing, and just kind of sit back and advise. But at the end of the day, a lot of them have been playing lacrosse much longer than me, and oftentimes are coaching me as to where I need to go on the field or how I need to shoot better or what other kind of tactics, if you will, I need to employ in my game. So it's a wide range.
Do people recognize you in LA? I mean, I know they see you all suited up on the field, but I didn't know if they recognized you off the field.
Not unless they actually know me. I still play in the pickup leagues and also play on a master's team that's for 35 and older, and we do some tournaments and things like that. And the people that, obviously the lacrosse people, know me and know that I play for USC and know that it's a unique thing. In some ways, I've been somewhat of a trendsetter because there's been others very similar to me, still younger, but have now picked up and play for one in particular is CSU at Long Beach has a team, and a friend of mine is playing there at the age of about 35.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are in grad school, it probably hasn't occurred to them that they still have NCAA eligibility.
For sure. And when they recognize that, whether they played before or not, they really take advantage and go out and play. So it's a good time to see some of them out on the field too.
So your kids are the same age as your teammates. What do your kids think of you playing college lacrosse?
Well, for sure, they're a little scratching their head, figuring out how did this even happen, but, they're very supportive. They're very proud, to go out and say, "Hey, my dad plays lacrosse." And, when I'm with them and I hear them telling the story, it's with a little sparkle in their eye and a little bit like, "Oh yeah, we're not lying to you. That's truth. We're not pulling your leg." So it's funny to see them, talk to other kids that way.
I watched a bunch of videos of the team and, you know, watched you playing and watched the announcers talking about you. Do the announcers just talk about you in a matter-of-fact way, or do they kind of call it out when they're announcing the games?
I can't tell you that I know what the announcers say because I can't hear I don't see the TV version. And then when we review film, it's without announcers. So I can't say I've really heard the announcers, but I do know my freshman year we were playing against Arizona State University in the playoffs, and all of a sudden I just kept hearing this guy put number zero in, and that's my number, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And later after the game I went over to see what was happening, and he had been with a friend of mine, heard my story. And he was actually a parent of Arizona State, but he was rooting for me because he just thought, "Hey, that's so cool that this 43-year-old was out there playing with the kid."
So you're looking at your last season now. Is that what's coming up for this 2018-19 school year?
It is. It's my last season. Everything worked out perfectly with my schooling, going into grad school and starting when I did, and then I'll be walking next May for my doctorate, and going through grad school and then through my doctorate all at the same time allowed me four straight seasons of USC lacrosse.
That is great. What's your doctorate going to be in?
My doctorate's in organizational change and leadership from the Rossier School of Education at USC.
And now you still specialize in like emergency management and disaster relief, right? Which is what you also did for American Humane.
Yes, I absolutely do. As the emergency manager for the city of El Segundo, my job is really to prepare that city for disaster. And then, as you mentioned, I have the nonprofit, the All Hazards Incident Management Teams Association, and that association exists to inspire excellence in incident management. We work with a lot of first responders that are on teams that go out and manage disasters and large-scale emergencies, and we try to set standards for them to abide by so that we know that they have the competency and can be very efficient at dealing with the many disasters that we see, from the wildland fires to the hurricanes that's been plaguing us so much in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so we're recording this August 8th, and I'm going to ask you about wildfires, so that's why I'm specifically saying what day we're recording this. So is El Segundo one of the cities that has to deal with a lot of the fires?
It is not. I'm thankful that the city of El Segundo has no wildland fire threat. We're surrounded by LA. We're right next to LAX, and so we don't have a wildland fire threat, but our fire department very regularly sends out strike teams to support other fire departments at fires across California.
So I wanted to ask you about the power of yes overall, because I'm sure you've used it in other parts of your life, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question ahead of time. But I mean, this book that we've put out, people are going crazy over it because they love like the promise and potential of the word yes. And you certainly have used it in your life in the ways that you talked about in your story. Have you used the power of yes in other ways?
I have. Quite honestly, in one of our first courses in organizational change and leadership in the doctorate program, there was a professor in the class that very much talked about the power of yes, obviously long before this book came out, but how empowering that is for leadership. And so that was just reinforced me as I went through school. And most recently, my yes statement was to go skydiving. So last week, jumped out of a perfectly good airplane and found myself in terminal velocity fall, headed to the ground. And it was quite the rush, but so empowering to face your fear of heights. And I don't have a great fear of heights, but when you're about to jump out of an airplane, it's fearful. So it was a great opportunity to put that theory into motion.
Well, I think I draw the line at using the power of yes for activities that involve the word terminal.
Right. Especially in that one, for sure.
I did jump off a 1,000-foot cliff and paraglide, so I did that. But that's a lot closer to the ground than jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Randy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great last year of your grad school, a great last year on the USC lacrosse team. And I really appreciate you joining us from London in the middle of your father-daughter trip.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a great pleasure.
And everybody, thanks for listening to the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast today. If you'd like to read Randy's story, check out our new book about the power of yes, and come back next week for more inspiration as we head into Labor Day and think about making a fresh start after the summer is over.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.